Hey everybody, Pastor Darren here, sitting here with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap. And if you'd like a copy of Mike's sermon notes from Sunday, you can text the number of 817-482-6626. So we're still in our series, Living Hope.
Still
walking through the book of Luke. And on Sunday, we looked at chapter 15. And we talked about how valuable each of us are to Christ. But you also mentioned that we should show that same value to one another. And Jesus used the parable of the lost sheep, the 99, leaving the 99 for the one. Probably one of the most recognizable scriptures for believers and non-believers. Everyone's heard that scripture.
Yeah.
And you also talked about the parable of the lost coin, where the woman lost that money, and it was a considerable amount. I think you mentioned it. We don't know the actual...
We don't know. What we know is it was valuable to her.
It was valuable to her. So, and she went to great lengths to find that coin, and she was basically up all night looking for it.
Right.
It was so valuable to her. So the overall theme of our message from Sunday was how valuable we are to God, and He will go to great lengths for the lost and to bring us back to Him. And we should show that same value to one another. Mm-hmm. What I also really loved about this message is you really focused on something we kind of gloss over, which are those first two verses of who He was sharing these parables to and
right.
who He was sharing them with. And verses 1 and 2, those He was sharing it with the tax collectors and the sinners, breaking bread and sharing with them how valuable they are, even though others may not see them as valuable.
Yeah.
He saw them as valuable.
Yeah,
you can do a series on that alone, just on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there was in these two stories, and the third one we'll cover next week with the prodigal son, there's so much. I mean, this week was part one of two parts. Next week, it could have done 3 or 4 because, like you said, there's a ton that you could do.
So we all have family members. We all have friends. We all have those Cousin Bobbies.
Cousin Bobby, he's back.
He's back.
I tried to, Sunday's sermon side note, I tried to say Cousin Bobby, and I said cousin because I couldn't remember the right name.
Oh,
I
cousin,
was like, cousin.
Cousin Bobby.
So you got this cousin. I was like, cousin Bobby. I was mixing him up with the accountant. You know what I'm talking about?
Kevin from accounting,
yeah. Okay. And if you're listening, you don't know what we're talking about. I'm referencing one of Darren's servants in the past. He's talking about Cousin Bobby and
Kevin from accounting
that we have a hard time loving sometimes.
So we were talking about family members, friends, and coworkers that we avoid because they're not living for Christ. And instead of sitting with them like Jesus did and having lunch with them and breaking bread with them, we avoid them instead of showing them and telling them that they matter. So how do we get out of our own self-righteous minds and our own self-righteous heads like Jesus and sit with those and share with people that may not be in our little sphere and show them and tell them that they matter?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the first key is, you have to understand that people are valuable. You have to understand the intrinsic value of the human soul. And, it is a constant theme through the book of Luke and all the Gospels that wherever Jesus goes, people follow. And the people that follow aren't the people that we would expect to follow. It's the outcast type of people. However you want to, Luke labels them as tax collectors and sinners. But it's the people who've been kind of outcast from their society who Jesus is constantly trying to show us they matter. And this, we talked about it Sunday a little bit, but the stories that Jesus tells, the prodigal son, which we'll talk about next week, the shepherd and the story of the coin, those three stories are responses to the Pharisees saying, why are you hanging out with these people, right? Why are you hanging out? Why are you spending time with these people? And the first key that the whole idea of it, which you covered really well, is they matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're important to me. I value. And so, the key to that for us as believers is to see the value in every single person. See that every person matters and is important to God. And we all have people that that matter to us. We all have people that are important to us. But like you said, they tend to be in our circle, and they tend to be If we're honest, they tend to be people who look like us and think like us and vote like us mm-hmm. and care about what we care about and go to the church that we go to or in the work, you know. And so the people that are in our circles tend to be people who are a lot like us, who we wouldn't see as sinners or outcasts or, you know, whatever, even if they are, because we've accepted them into our circle.
Right.
And so then, so they're good, right? And so to think about valuing somebody outside of our circle is really maybe where you need to start, is valuing, all right, each person matters. I've got people around me who are like me that I love and spend time with, but who's not like me? Who do I maybe disagree? Who do I not appreciate? And start trying to see them differently. And, you know, I don't know. That's a start,
yeah.
I think. That's a start.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, you also mentioned the parable of the sheep. Mm-hmm. The one who wanders off and gets lost is usually the weakest or the less mature. And I was thinking about this driving home yesterday. The shepherd's job is really to care for his sheep, keep mm-hmm. them on the path, and protect them from attack.
Yeah.
Truly. And in this particular parable, he left 99 open for attack.
Yeah. And it says in an open field.
In an open field.
Yeah. I read that and was like, yeah, that's like anything could happen right now to these other 99. Yeah.
But that sheep was so valuable to him. I'm going to leave them open for attack. To go grab that one.
Yeah.
Well, and thinking about this, and this is what I was thinking about driving home. It's like, well, if you really think about, and basically what you were saying was, you know, they're the most mature.
Yeah.
And well, most and healthiest.
Yeah.
Well, those sheep.
And their strength in numbers, right? So I don't want to read too much into it.
Yeah.
But you do think about, all right, there's this flock of 99, like their strength and numbers, there's, I won't say they're protected because they're still sheep and sheep are dumb and we need our shepherd, but there's something about them being together that is should be safety, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I don't want to read too much into that theologically, but
right.
You know, and there's probably somebody that's listening that's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. If a wolf comes up, they're all dead, like what are they gonna do? But there's something there, maybe. So
but then the thing I was thinking about is because they've been around that shepherd so long, mm-hmm. They've been guided by him. Like you said, they are probably the most mature. They'll keep each other safe.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of like a community group?
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Could be. Should be.
Yeah.
It's the way it should be. Yeah. The sheep together protecting and loving each other and caring for each other and wanting to protecting each other for sure. So, yeah.
And now we need our shepherd. We don't want you to go away, but not for too long.
Yeah.
But you've trained us and you've poured into us. And, you know, we have a group of community mm-hmm. that will help us protect until you come back or until that shepherd comes back.
Sure.
So lastly, as a pastor and our shepherd, what is the most important thing you want our church to grab out of this passage of scripture that we touched on this week and we're going to continue into next week?
I think, well, the first thing is definitely for us to understand that, and we've talked about it at the beginning, but that every soul, every person matters. And that is such a hard thing for us to grasp sometimes because we're so caught up in our own stuff. And we're so caught up in what we have going on and what I got at work and our busyness and our, you know, we're owned by our schedules and we're owned by, you know, school and our kids, all these things that are going on. And so often anything that gets in the way of that or inconveniences that is just infuriating to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we begin to see other people as like burdens or distractions or in the way of what we want to do. And I think I think we have to step back from that. I don't think that's what, I don't, you know, like the story of the 99 where the shepherd leaves the 99 to go get the one. That was, one, inconvenient. It's dangerous. It's, we look at it and think of it as foolish, or I do, because, you know, again, we're looking at he's leaving the 99 open for attack or open for, you know, whatever, to go get this one stupid sheep who keeps running off. You know, that's kind of the way I would read it today. And so, which we know isn't the truth, but that's how I would see it. Like, now, I guess it's really inconvenient for him to have to go and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I would want myself to change the way I see not just people, but my everyday life. Because this is a great concept or a great theological idea that every person matters and every soul matters. And we have an easy time saying that, and we say that in church and we get amens, and that, because that is, we believe that, we know that. But what does that actually look like, you know, from a day-to-day basis? What does that look like with the people that I'm encountering at my office, mm-hmm. or on social media, or I say social media because that's such a volatile place. You know, sometimes we can say awful things to each other, or, you know, in my home, or, you know, just when we're out and about, how we treat people in the stores that we frequent, or just the different places we're at. Like, it's one thing to say that every soul matters, every person matters, guy, but what is it, how does that play out in, like, when it's reality, like Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. Monday through Saturday? How does that, you know, play out in our daily lives? So that's something I would really want us to, and myself, to contemplate and think on. And it's not something that I think just changes all of a sudden, where all of a sudden we're just, you know, treating everybody so special. But I think it's over time a shift of our mindset of how we think towards people and act towards people. And
it should be genuine too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can pick up someone who's, you can pick up if it's not genuine, if it's just church talk.
Yeah.
You know, if it just sounds good, but, you know, on Sunday. But on Monday, if you see me in a grocery store, are you going to help me? Are you going to say hi to me?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not. But my second part of that is believing. So every soul matters. And then also believing that, like, you think about the group of people that are in the room. You got the Pharisees and then the tax collectors and sinners. And part of the reasons why I think the Pharisees are asking, why are you wasting your time with them, Jesus? Because they see this group of people as hopeless. Mm. And they see this group of people as a group of people that's just, they're so far gone, you're wasting your time even spending time with them, Jesus. And so I think one of the challenges for us in that is to not just change the way that we value the human soul, but change the way that we, see hope for individuals. You know, I think there's people in our lives, or people in our society even, that maybe think a certain way or believe certain things that we really disagree with. And our tendency is to just outcast those people and go, have fun in hell, you know, you're ruining our country, you know, like, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's how we tend to treat certain groups of society. And we need to rethink the way that we view those people and understand that they matter to God, and rethink the way that we treat those types of people, outcasts. I don't want to get like into specifics and be like this person, but like these segments of society that we really tend to look down on, especially in the church, and rethink the way that we view them and see them as valued by God. Rethink the way that we act towards them, how we treat them, and rethink the way that we hope for them. Like, instead of it, our thought process being, I hope God gets you. It should be like, I hope God gets you.
Yeah.
I hope God, man, I hope he gets a hold of you. And and believing that that can happen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Believing that he can do what he's done in me, change my life, you know, save my soul. And instead of saying, Jesus, why are you hanging out with these sinners? Saying, Jesus, man, here's my hope for these people. And
And it may not be instantaneous, and that's probably part of our problem too. Yeah, because we want it right away. Hey, you're not changing. All right, I'm done with you.
Yeah, good luck, Bobby.
Yeah, good luck, cousin Bobby.
Yeah, good luck, cousin Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have fun in hell. So, but that's what I think. So I think that, you know, we've got to rethink how we value the soul, and then not just say it from like a theological, every soul matters. How does that work out in my daily life? How am I treating those precious souls that I get to encounter every day that are going to have an eternal life? Mm-hmm. And how am I treating those precious souls? And then on a larger view, what is my hope for those precious souls? Am I, and the ones, you know, far reaching that I think is just, man, there's no hope. Like, if you believe that, then you're wrong. If mm-hmm. you believe that, you're missing what Jesus came to do. You know, if we believe that, then we're more in line with the Pharisees than we are with the sinners, and we're forgetting that we were the sinners. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what
And hope is an action too. It's not just like, man, I hope.
Yeah.
We have a part in that hope too.
Yeah. You take steps of faith.
Yeah.
And hope, and you, yeah, you act differently towards people because you have hope. Right. Yeah. Like say you're trying to rescue your marriage. You don't just hope it all works out.
Right.
You take actions and steps because you hope it all works out. Because you're hope, or maybe I should say it, because you're hoping and believing it can be different.
Yeah.
And so you take intentional steps and you change the way that you view that person, treat that person, act towards that person, because you're hoping and believing and having faith that something can be changed.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that can be in a marriage or a relationship with anybody. Certainly with people in society that we would view in the church world as sinners.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that's like such a harsh way to do it, because we are all that.
Right.
If it's not for the grace of God. But we definitely have a tendency to, this is a certain segment, good luck, because obviously you're too far gone. And we've got to change that.
Yeah.
Got to change that. So, and that starts with me. I'm not saying like that's like...
That's everyone, though.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, believing the soul has intrinsic value, has to go past a theological concept and into the way we live our lives.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what I would say. So
that's good.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us today. And I want to encourage you to listen to this powerful message. You can go to YouTube. It's also on Facebook as well as online. And as a church, let's look at ways how we can value people outside of our comfort zones. And your action may be the thing that actually leads them to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the kingdom. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday.